Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Another quiet weekend for Deshaun Watson. 3 weeks from now, business picks up. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. That's over 2 weeks. We're pushing 3 weeks. No news on Deshaun Watson. Why is it so significant this weekend? Because this was supposed to be the two-week mark of the anonymity of the final four accusers in the Deshaun Watson case. We haven't heard anything, although we have heard something, just not from Deshaun Watson, Tony Busby, or Rusty Harden. This settlement appears to be heading on its way. Barring some criminal investigation, barring some sort of miscommunication between Rusty Harden and Tony Busby, the settlement appears to be coming. This was the weekend where, if we were going to hear something else, I thought this would have been the weekend where everything that we had thought was going on, could have, a big curveball could have come.
Yeah, and I think it also would have been a weekend when we heard something from either Rusty or Tony Busby or both, because as you mentioned, Friday was the deadline, close of business Friday for getting those names to the court and to Rusty Harden, and it came and went, and so did the weekend. By the way, happy Mother's Day again to all the mothers, and it came and went. With no hoopla, nobody saying anything about he did this or he didn't do that, et cetera. So that alone right there tells you that something is imminent in terms of a settlement, because they didn't try to posture anymore.
I'm driving around this weekend, and I'm listening to the radio, and everything is about Aaron Rodgers right now. Like Deshaun Watson has basically gotten like a three-week vacation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sitting here saying that Deshaun Watson's not stressed out, Deshaun Watson's not – his mind isn't going 100-plus miles an hour, but everything's about Aaron Rodgers right now. And I'm looking up at the TV screen right now. They're talking about Aaron Rodgers. The standoff, the Deshaun Watson stuff, the legal stuff, it's barely back-page news right now, which is good news for him. But the Aaron Rodgers thing is taking over the Deshaun Watson situation. But I actually think the two things are connected. I actually think this is actually connected to the Deshaun Watson situation, because if Aaron Rodgers is traded to a team, I think there could be a snowball effect where that could increase the market of the Deshaun Watson situation, or it could significantly impact the Deshaun Watson situation. So although he's not in the news, every time you see that number 12 in the green and yellow, it is localized. It is connected to the story that we've been talking about since Deshaun Watson or his camp or Adam Schefter made it clear that Deshaun Watson wants a trade. The news isn't right in front of you, but it is right in front of you, if that
it
makes
is.
Sense.
Absolutely. One directly impacts the other both ways. We don't think it's going to happen this way, but Deshaun Watson happens. If something happens on that front, it affects Aaron Rodgers' possibilities down the road. Now, clearly, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the baggage that Deshaun does, and might still be able to command a bigger price, as we discussed last week. I think most teams would want Aaron Rodgers, even though his career's future is a lot shorter, would want him for the near term more than Deshaun Watson. But definitely, they affect each other.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It is Reaction Monday, 713-572. 4610 if you want to get in. The Deshaun Watson updated odds at 1040. OG on OG crime. John Lopez taking Peter King to task. We'll hear that at 1040. Texans schedule actually comes out this Wednesday. We're going to have special programming for you. Myself, Sean Pendergast, every Sports Radio 610 host will be on. The one of my favorite times, the schedule comes out on Wednesday, and then Thursday, the world-famous In the Loop schedule game. But elsewhere in H-Town, I don't want to pronounce him dead. I think that might be a little premature. But Zach Greinke's in a bad spot. Zach Greinke's in a bad spot. Four straight outings where Zach Greinke doesn't go five innings. Can't say that that's happened very often. I wonder if it has ever happened. I know that Blum and Callis said they were going to look it up. Framber Valdez could be back. We talk about the rotation. Are you concerned at all about Zach Greinke? Dusty Baker says he's not. Are you?
I am. And the reason is not necessarily because, you know, the Astros are not winning. They're doing quite well. They had a good weekend again against the Blue Jays, and they won the series. My point is this. We all know what happens in the postseason. Everything is magnified. The pitching is at a premium. The strike zone changes. There's more pressure on hitters. It's harder to produce, you know, the old crooked letter innings, as people like to call them. So you can't get there without, you know, a stud at the top of the pitching rotation. You just can't. And so where is that right now? You know, that's Zach Greinke. You mentioned, you know, what they were talking about on TV. Here's a little more detail on it. Hasn't gone more than four innings since April 23rd. His ERA over that span is 8.25. The batting average against is 314. It's awesome that the Astros bats are waking up, and they've had a great weekend, and they're winning some series. But the Astros can't get to the postseason greatness that we've been able to experience without Greinke holding down the top of the rotation, because there's so many other question marks elsewhere in the rotation.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. I'm not concerned about Greinke. I think he can figure it out. I like this. I like some of the upside in the Astros' arms. I mean, you look at Javier, you look at McCullers, Fromber's coming back. You have some good upside. Problem is the downside's pretty low too.
Yeah.
You don't know whether they're gonna rake them down for seven innings or whether you're gonna have to use the bullpen for six plus innings.
Mm-hmm.
That's the concern I have for the Astros, but they're back in their winning ways. Jose Altuve getting a little bit hot. Little Oppo Taco yesterday on Mother's Day. Maybe the way that New York series went down was good for good old Jose. Nice weekend at the yard. Zach Greinke, though, in a very bad spot. 713-572-4610. Nick Caserio is making phone calls to rookies. What does success look like for the Houston Texans? Get it to that in 7 minutes. But let's go to the phones. Let's go to Terry. Terry, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. On Friday on the Clint Sterner show and show, McClain said something that was just really got me going. I had a hot sports opinion about that. He said he was going to ask if Caserio, he's going to ask if he's going to wear a headset during the games. And I got this theory that Caserio was not a GM in New England. He was a head of personnel and a more of a coach than anything else. But
well, yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't the GM. That's documented.
Well, McClain was saying that, you know, when he was in there in New England, he wore a headset on game days. I would have a huge problem if I'm a Texans fan, which I am, and also if I'm a Texans player, if the GM name another football team where the GM is not sitting up there with the owner or in his own box, he's on the headset during game day. That's crazy.
Why do you have such a problem with it?
Well, the quintessential GM that wants to be a head coach, Jerry Jones, he wouldn't even wear a headset and talk with the guys on game day. And I know that.
Well, he wasn't talking. We've talked about the headset. We actually talked about it a couple of years ago when they were first going at Caserio. It's not like he's giving plays. He's just listening to what's going on. And it's with Tom Brady, Belichick, McDaniels, all those guys.
Perception, man. Perception.
I get your point. I actually do.
I don't.
No. I get your point, too. And I'm not trying to waffle here. I totally agree that he's, you know, just sort of monitoring. He's active. He's got his hands in everything, and he's not calling any plays or making suggestions as far as anybody has ever known when he's done that. But nobody likes to have somebody looking over their shoulder when they're doing work. You know what I mean? Like if Armin was behind that window, our program director, and just standing there, just watching, that would be a little uncomfortable for the
people.
Here
we go, baby.
You know, for the people who are working. So I get his point. I get yours, but I get his point. The perception of looking over your shoulder would be uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a different situation because mm-hmm. Nick Caserio has been a coach before. So he doesn't want to be a coach. Like if we're comparing Nick Caserio and Jerry Jones, we're horny for opinions.
No,
I appreciate the call,
Jerry. I get the point of his perception.
Yeah, screw perception in this situation because, I mean, Nick Caserio was trusted when they brought in Randy Moss and they brought in Wes Welker to coach the receivers. So he just has the headset on. It's not like he's telling Tom Brady or Josh McDaniels what to do. I'm not worried about that type of perception. He's damn sure not Jerry Jones. Like, come on.
Yeah, no, I get your point. It's just it's an awkward look. If you're a coach on the sideline and you're like, okay, what do I say now because Casario's listening? You know what I'm saying? I get it. I actually do get his point.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We still haven't heard from David Culley. We're going to hear from him shortly, at least a draft phone call that he made to Davis Mills. We haven't heard David Culley leading up to the draft. We haven't heard David Culley up to the draft. And quite honestly, I'm not complaining. I think that's just telling, and that's just confirmation of what we already knew. Mm-hmm. David Culley in this situation, he might be the right coach for this situation, but what we thought David Culley was, the ultimate walk-around coach, that type of guy, the all-shucks, mm-hmm. I think it's somewhat clear because – most coaches you have heard from. Now, I know his father passed away, but leading up to the draft even, mm-hmm. and we're going to hear from him on Friday, his father passed away on Saturday, 94 years old. Luckily, they got to spend some time together as he became coach. But I think our previous thoughts, our previous notions about David Culley have just basically been clarified by our silence. And I don't think they need to worry about that perception there. You talk about perception, and Terry mentions perception. I think sometimes the Texans worry too much about perception and they make themselves look dumb in doing so, being overly paranoid. You're seeing GMs all around the NFL, talk about what went into trades and what they tried to do and stuff. And you're getting a lot of transparency. And I think in the past, the Texans have almost just to a weird point tried to battle perception and tried to do that. That's not something that they need to change because I think the perception is reality there with David Culley.
Yeah, it's been, everything we thought that he would be as a head coach, not only just confirmed with the silence and not being able to, and not really coming forward in terms of the draft and such, but also with the Pep Hamilton influence on the draft, which has been very clear, at least the first two picks. That's a guy that has a lot, I think, has a lot more say in roster, perhaps even than David Culley.
And I think, don't you think the Pep Hamilton thing, though, because I don't know what exactly Pep Hamilton is. Don't you think that's more of an indictment or just as much of an indictment on Tim Kelly as it is
yes.
how great Pep Hamilton is?
Yes. Yes. I think Pep Hamilton is, in terms of chain of command and influence on the roster, he's very, very high, perhaps even as high or higher than David Culley.
Now, if you're just tuning in and you're wondering why we're talking about Pep Hamilton and what his connection is to the draft, he coached with David Shaw at Stanford, who was the coach of Davis Mills, the quarterback you took in the third. And then your fourth round pick out of Michigan, Pep Hamilton actually recruited mm-hmm. your newest receiver. So that's where that connection is with Pep Hamilton. But we both agree that has just as much to do with Tim Culley as it does
yeah.
Pep Hamilton. Coming up, what does success? It got a little heated last week. Let's continue. What does success look like for the 2021 Texans? When they win, do they lose? When they lose, do they win? The old white men can't jump theory. Plus, we'll hear from David Culley. We'll hear from Nick Caserio what it sounded like when they made the phone call to their next potential starting quarterback. Next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
What does success look like for the Houston Texans in 2021? Furthermore, when they win, do they actually win? Let's hear Gloria from White Men Can't Jump. This is a theory that is being adopted around here more so than other places. Gloria, tell Billy how it works.
I got a different set of rules of my own. You want to hear them? Here they go. Sometimes when you win, you really lose. And sometimes when you lose, you really win.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes when you win, you lose. Sometimes when you lose, you really win. Makes a lot of sense. What does success look like for the Houston Texans, though? Because this is a dilemma for sports fans. You want to enjoy the game. You want your squad to win. But sometimes, just like the Rockets this year, you want the team to lose to get a better draft pick. Is that necessarily important for the Houston Texans? What does success look like? And furthermore, when it comes to evaluating the quarterback and other guys on the team, what do we want to see? Because you insinuated last week that Davis Mills playing too good could actually be a bad thing for the Houston Texans.
Not only insinuated it, I think it's true. Depending on how many games, he plays 16 and he balls out, I mean, that might change the perception of my opinion a little bit. But, you know, we were talking about the whole 7-3 thing, you know, and I just feel like it's a little hasty to say all of a sudden problem solved at quarterback, especially when we're assuming you're going to get, and I think it's a safe assumption, you're going to get a ton of draft picks for Deshaun Watson, or at least some high draft picks for Deshaun Watson, where if you settle on Davis Mills after a smaller sample size, be careful. I mean, the NFL is littered with good quarterbacks, not great quarterbacks, good quarterbacks who looked really good to start their campaigns. So that's neither here nor there as far as what you're bringing up right now. But I do believe that when the Texans are on the field, we have to recondition ourselves on how we're watching them. It's tough, man. I mean, I've seen all the good seasons of the Texans and the really, really bad seasons. And there have been times where had they lost that one more game, perhaps the entire, you know, landscape of what they are would have been different. So you don't actively cheer for them to lose unless it's a clear number one is on the line. But let's look at what happened this year. I mean, Jacksonville has Trevor Lawrence because of it, flat out. You know, things could have been a lot different. And there would have been maybe some more question marks with some of these other quarterbacks. There are no question marks with Trevor Lawrence because Jacksonville got that pick. I mean, it makes a difference. You got to condition yourself on how to watch your team.
Well, and I just wonder how you evaluate Davis Mills in a 2 or 3 game stretch. And I wonder how this organization will react because I don't know what success looks like. Like if Davis Mills just comes in and lights the world on fire, do you go that route and then – do you go defense? Do you try to get weapons around him? How do you handle that? And furthermore, how many wins is too many wins? What if the Texans, let's say the Texans go
that's what I'm saying,
8-9. What does 8-9 look like? What would you say if this Texans team went 8-9? Does it just kind of depend like what it actually looks like? Does it depend? I think you need to see guys that are younger emerge and look like building blocks. You need the Ross Blacklocks to look good. You need the Jonathan Grenards, the Charles Amenihus, the Shaq Lawsons, the Lonnie Johnsons, the young guys, your draft picks, Jordan, all those guys. You need those guys to look good if you want something to build on. Those are the guys that you need to look at if you're the Texans and say, this is what success looks like. The problem is, If you do see the Texans, let's say they win 5 games and you get in that 8-9 no man's land situation, if you don't feel confident in Davis Mills, you're kind of in a tough spot where, unless you want to be like New England and you want to take a guy like Mac Jones, then you're not really. Do you want to bank on Mac Jones? Do you want to bank on Mac Jones taking you to the next level? It's a serious dilemma for the Texans, and it's a serious dilemma for Nick Caserio, because what happens if the Texans go, let's say the Texans are the worst team in the NFL on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would feel good because you're going to get a quarterback. Ideally, someone will emerge and there will be a quarterback that some people like, including the Texans. But what about the coach? If David Coley is 1-16 in year one, is Nick Caserio all of a sudden looking for another coach? Or do you keep going with David Coley? Because we're talking about evaluating these players, and there's a lot of young guys, and it's easy to evaluate these guys. It's easy to evaluate what Charles Amenihu does, what Shaq Lawson does, what these young guys do, Grenard, so on and so forth. It's easy to evaluate that. But how am I supposed to evaluate a coach, even if there is no talent, if he goes 1-16? Is this just like a bridge year for David Culley? How are we supposed to evaluate that situation?
I mean, Culley's an interesting one because I don't expect him to be here more than 2, maybe 3 years anyway. I consider him a bridge coach, sort of a figurehead while they get their rebuild going. And it's kind of backed up by the fact that he's not exactly the strongest voice in that building by any stretch. So he's a little bit of an interesting case. I think all he can do is help himself with, say, you said 8 and 9. If he goes 8 and 9, people are reevaluating David Culley all of a sudden. Even though maybe Pep Hamilton and Tim Kelly have a bigger part of the offense, maybe Nick Caserio has found some gems on free agency and in later rounds of the draft, whatever. The head coach is still the head coach, and he's going to be looked at differently if they go that way. If he goes anything more than or less than, like, say, 4 or 5 wins, it's not going to affect him at all. He's still going to be out of here, I think, in 2 or 3 years.
And I don't think he has that much of a problem with it. I just don't know if 2 or 3 years is ideal, especially if you do find some guys that you can build around. You start feeling better about this roster. You have a draft to build. What is the point of having David Culley there if he's not going to be here long term? Do you want these rookies? Do you want these young guys that are finding their form? Do you want them to have a coach that you know is going to be gone in 2 years? Or do you start the next step in the rebuild? There's just a lot of different steps. There's a lot of different directions that a rebuild goes when it comes to evaluation. Nick Caserio's got a very tough job right now if you're a Texans. And fans have an interesting dilemma too, because you want progress, you want success, but a lot of times that's not measured in these situations in the ultimate form of measurement when it comes to team sports, and that's wins and losses.
You're looking for individual progress with this team, I think. Does that look like a quarterback, receiver, tight end that looks like he'll be in the league 6, 8, 10 years and be a big time contributor? You're not really looking at the wins and losses. As far as David Culley, I think he does have value. It's just he's not going to be the head coach in 2 or 3 years. All they talk about is culture, right? David Culley, that's his wheelhouse. You know, building a positive culture, being a positive guy, being well-liked, you know, having the team rally around him. So he has a value here. He has a purpose here. I just don't think when they look at that from the ownership down to Nick Caserio and everybody else, Easterby, they're not saying that's the guy that's going to take us to where we want to go. That's just the guy that can build a culture that leads to the next step.
Davis Mills, the first selection by Nick Caserio, quarterback out of Stanford, 11 starts at Stanford. Unrealized potential is really the theme when it comes to the sales pitch on him. Here was the phone call that Nick Caserio and David Culley made to the newest quarterback of the Houston Texans 2 Fridays ago.
Great. Where are you at? Nice. Pretty quiet? All right. Okay, great. All right, we're gonna turn a pick in here in a minute, and we're gonna make you a Houston Texan. You know, we're excited to have you. Like, you're a good player. You know, you've had a good career at Stanford, and you know, you're the type of person that we want to have in the building. So, you know, we're excited. Enjoy it with your family. We'll circle back with you here in a little bit. Coach Culley is sitting right next to me here. He's gonna get on the phone, so we'll visit with you here in a little bit. But congratulations,
Davis. David Culley, head football coach, Texas. How you doing? You should be. Hey, listen, love the thought of you being a Texan. I mean, we can't wait to get you here. I hear him. Tell him I hear him in the background. I hear him. Yeah, tell him get him some boots now, okay?
What?
Hey, well, listen, looking forward to it. Congratulations. Happy for you. I couldn't be, as a first-time head coach, I couldn't be more happy for you.
All about boots. Being a Texan.
Get some boots. David,
come on now.
You should tell him to milk a cow too.
Yeah,
where's your horse? Landry Locker, John
Lopez, and the cowboy hat.
Nick Caserio's not exactly
with you,
Mr. Excitement
here in Houston. Here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610, he is not an OG showdown. Peter King has some Deshaun Watson odds. Where Watson could end up, John Lopez could not disagree more. Some lab work coming up. The next destination for the Texans quarterback next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Peter King, in his column, says that his gut feeling is that Deshaun Watson will be on a new team in a year.
Get out.
That's what it says.
Hold on. Where's the breaking news?
I just think by a year from today, Hill being Watson, will have a new home. This is a gut feeling.
A gut feeling.
Peter King.
But Deshaun Watson is going to be on another team.
That is what Peter King says.
Wow. Why did we wait till 10:36 to do this?
Peter King just bringing it.
Nobody's talking
about
that.
One column a week information you get.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I thought of you when I literally said no bleep out loud when I read this morning. He's got a gut feeling he's going to be on another team. No bleep.
Peter also put out some odds.
Yeah, he did.
Which you took exception with.
Yeah, I did.
Let's just go through the Peter King odds, and let's get John Lopez's reaction. Let's start. Got a little lab work here for you as well. Let's start with team number one, the Philadelphia Eagles. Deshaun Watson's chances of going to Philadelphia per Peter King, 3-1 odds. That's 33.3%. I'm no math major, but that's 33.3%.
Yeah.
Peter King says 3-1 the chances Deshaun plays in Philly this year. Your reaction to those odds?
I will tell you this up front. That's the best job he did right there. That's about as accurate to what I would say the real odds are as anything. He said 3-1. I didn't want to go that, like you just said, that's a pretty big number. I went 5-1 on the Eagles. It's a possibility. It's something that they're that definitely is on the table, and they have the means to get. But after that first one, because I read the first one, I was like, all right, let's see where Peter's going with this. It was an abomination, the odds that was he throwing a dart at a board here to pick up these odds? Is he not paying? I know he has access to people. What's going on?
So Lopez says
he's okay with
one.
That.
Peter King says 3-1. Yeah, not too bad.
He's in the ballpark.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Team number two per Peter King, and this is a team that acquired Sam Darnold, the Carolina Panthers. Wait for this song. I was excited to play this one. I'm excited to play this. Shout out to all the female loopholes, 90s babies, country girls. You'll appreciate this one. Deshaun to Carolina. Wait for it. Okay. Figgy's feeling this.
Yeah, he is. I can tell, Figgy.
Listen, this. Yeah. Tell me Deshaun can't sing this. Listen, tell me Deshaun ain't singing this, thinking this.
Is he? I don't know.
Well, I got to tweet these lyrics
he's
out.
He's got a Lambo? He's got a Lambo?
He does have a Lambo. He did play in South Carolina.
Wait for it. Here you go. Carolina. Here we go. Here we go. This is another white person mumble. I don't know what it means.
Yeah. But you can fake it with the best of them.
Peter King's Carolina odds, 3-1. That's where he has it. 3-1 with Sam Darnold.
Where did that come from?
This has got to be some sort of information or something he's hearing. 3-1?
Look, Peter King is very connected to every team in the NFL at every level, coaching, front office, etc. So I criticize him with that. You know, being completely transparent, I know he's better connected than I am. But sometimes you have to shake your head. They just acquired Sam Darnold.
Yes.
They have some resources, but would they do that right now for Deshaun Watson? I place the odds at 10-1. Not off the board, but 10-1. There have been some reports that they might still be interested as well.
Fade that up one more time. Let's hit that hook one more time.
Playlist do you have this on, Figgy?
All right.
The bottom of the list playlist.
Carolina. All right, so you got 10-1. Peter King had 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. Could I interest you in a trip to our nation's capital?
Welcome to the District of Columbia. Welcome to Washington, D.C. This is the place where dreams come true. Yes,
okay.
The capital of the United States. We'll enter the heart of our nation. We'll see where our bills become law. We'll visit the side of the White House and monuments that bring awe.
What the heck is this?
Well, the national capital is not in any state. No favorite.
Washington football team, 5-1 per Peter King. This is a team, I don't have a problem with the 5-1 odds. It's just going to have to be an after-season trade.
Right.
It's going to have to be an after-season trade.
You read my
but
mind.
But he has it at 5-1. What do you have it at? I think after the season, they could be the most aggressive.
Now, look, I totally agree with you. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Taylor Heinicke, that's their quarterbacks.
That's Heinicke to you.
Heinicke. But I put it at 10-1, not 5-1, because I think it's going to happen before, well before next season. So if he wants to say 5-1 because it's going to be next season, I'm cool with that. But I think it's going to happen well before that. I would go 10-1.
All right. So Lopez has got Philly 5-1, Panthers 10-1, Washington football team 10-1. Peter King a little more optimistic on those. Let's light up. Figgy, let me get a little rip real quick. Let me get a little rip. Wake and bake on a Monday. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Let's go Rocky Mountain High. Denver.
I'm low-key faded, bro.
The Denver Broncos. We will hear from a very familiar NFL insider, says that Aaron Rodgers could be the target of the Broncos. Peter King has the Broncos at 6-1 as a potential destination.
Those are still pretty low odds. And I would co-sign, if not for the Aaron Rodgers effect. I think what we were just talking about, any team right now that considers itself a contender in the near future prefers Aaron Rodgers over Deshaun Watson. So I put that also at 10-1. Just to recap, I got the Eagles at 5-1. I think there's something there, but 3-1 is pretty low. And then three teams, Panthers, Washington, and the Broncos at 10-1. So they're in the mix, but it's not going to happen as confidently as he thinks it is. And Aaron Rodgers, Broncos.
10-1, huh?
Yeah.
What would you put Aaron Rodgers at? To Denver.
I'll put him at 6-1.
For Denver.
For Denver.
I would put him at 3-1.
Even better, huh? Even lower odds.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, but see,
3-1.
The only reason I'm saying that is because the Packers have a say in this as well. You know? But 3-1, I'm not going to argue too much.
I was going to settle with you, but then I got high. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. What about the Houston Texans?
Come on, Peter.
Peter King has the Houston Texans
at
8-1.
8-1.
That is the fifth best odds. Peter King has the Texans at 8-1. If you ever needed a sign that Amy Paulsik was the information source for Peter King, this is it right here. Because if he has the Texans at 8-1, that's damn near, that's over 15% of a chance that Deshaun Watson plays here. Peter King has taken his information to Jacksonville.
What is he thinking? 8-1? Yeah, it's a gut feeling he won't be here. Get out of here. I have the odds of Deshaun Watson being a Texan generously at 1,000-1. I don't know what he was looking at, who he was talking with when he put the odds at the Texans. Look at the teams that he's above, which we're going to get to.
This one's interesting. And again, this is an after-season trade as well because they are in cap hell. They being the New Orleans Saints out there in New Orleans. Could Deshaun Watson be going up to New Orleans? Will Deshaun back that ass up to New Orleans? 9-1 is what Peter King has Deshaun to New Orleans as. 9-1.
I just want to hear this. Yeah, again, this is kind of like the same effect as like the Panthers or Washington football team. I think Sean Payton is always – I think he's been kicking the tires on a Drew Brees replacement for a couple of years at least. You know, he's always got his eye out for another quarterback. I think they are a factor for Deshaun Watson. But, again, I think Deshaun Watson will be moved before next offseason. So I'm going to say while he's in the ballpark – not 9-1, I'm going to say 15-1 Saints.
15-1. Man. Lands with Sean Payton, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. That'd be a nice spot for Deshaun. New Orleans would embrace him as well. So Peter King's got him at 9-1. J-Lo's got him at 15-1. Boy, I'm excited for this one. I almost just wanted to fast forward here. Just, oh, my goodness. Deshaun Watson to Miami. We've thought this was a strong possibility. We'll give you what Peter King has. We'll give you what John Lopez has. But before that, in the spirit of Deshaun Watson possibly taking his talents to South Beach, I'm going to need all you people listening right now to shut up.
Hey, we're going to let the band deal with this.
All right.
My A staff.
Okay. Hit it, Trick Daddy.
Uh-huh.
All right. This is going to be in my head all day.
Shut up. Uh-huh. Okay. What's up? Shut up. Uh-huh. Okay. What's up? Okay. Shut up. Uh-huh. Okay. What's
yeah, go
up?
Ahead.
Shut up. Uh-huh. Okay. What's up?
Got my mayonnaise and sugar sandwiches. Go ahead.
So he said Dolphins were 10-1. And I get it. He earlier in the column, he was talking about how Tua was still their guy, et cetera, et cetera. I get it. I'm going to say the Dolphins remain the favorite to land Deshaun Watson at 3-1.
They got to be at the top of the list.
3-1.
I don't know what he's seen. Like, it'd be one thing if we were 4 weeks in and Tua looked good.
Yeah.
Dolphins still got to be near the top of the list.
Assets and need, you know, and what? Availability.
You know what? This is what I got to say to Peter King about that. Like, seriously.
Uh-huh. Okay. What's up? Shut up.
Good luck driving the rest of your drive on your commute, because that's all you're going to hear in your head.
I don't know. There's a chance this could get in your head. We haven't thrown this possibility out, but this is another. Again, these destinations, a lot of these things, I think, are based on when it happens. During season, I think during season, Miami, Denver, Philly would be the top three possibilities. But after season, could Deshaun Watson be gone like Minnesota?
You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat. You need to stay up out the streets if you can't take the heat.
Peter King has Minnesota 20-1. Now, you need to keep this in mind. Kirk Cousins is scheduled to make $45 million next year.
Exactly.
Not happening.
Yeah.
He will be cut. They will be looking for a quarterback. Now, do they feel confident in Kellen Mond? Or are they going to be looking for Deshaun Watson? Peter King has that at 20-1. That's a definite after-season possibility.
Well, I think most of these odds, he's just, you know, credit to him, this is what he believes, that it's not going to happen until after next season. I just don't see it that way. I don't think you do either. 20-1 is not bad after the season. As you just mentioned, Cousins gone, Kellen Mond, who knows? I still put it at 50-1. Again, largely because I don't think it's going to take that long.
How much weed do you have to smoke to come up with this song?
I was jugging since the young and free. My older cousin Reese, he from Hamilton, my DC. I rock
just like a
like I'm Gucci. Flip on banging off the world. Gucci on my drawers.
Okay.
You in the streets if you scared of them four walls. I was stroking on your sister. She was calling me the mistress.
Damn, all right. Let's start that down. I'm going to get us in trouble with a little nasty there. Yachty. All right, so Vikings 50-1. Peter had him at 20-1. The bathroom Casanova,
mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger. This is likely his final year in Pittsburgh. Could the Steelers be looking for Deshaun Watson? In other words, could Deshaun Watson be wearing black and yellow?
Yeah, you know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
25-1. Is what Peter King has this at, 25-1.
I put it better than that. You just mentioned Roethlisberger. What, is Mason Rudolph or Josh Dobbs going to be the answer there? No, the answer is no.
They actually got the quarterback from the Washington football team.
Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, they got him on there.
They have him as well. I don't know what their belief is in any of those guys. I actually have them tied for the third best odds. Dolphins 3-1, Panthers, Washington, and Broncos 10-1. Saints and Steelers at 15-1. Much like Sean Payton there and Tomlin with a new extension, they're always going to be looking at another quarterback.
All right, so to run through the odds, J-Lo has the Eagles at 5-1, the Panthers at 10-1, Washington football team 10-1, Denver 10-1, Texans 1,000-1. I think you're a little generous there. Saints 15-1, Dolphins 3-1, Vikings 50-1, Steelers 15-1, then the field 50-1.
Yeah.
I actually might place a bet on the field because I think Las Vegas is in the mix.
Not a bad bet.
Especially
there's
if
your
Rodgers,
value pick.
Especially if Aaron Rodgers ends up in Denver,
yeah,
which is a strong possibility. We're going to hear a very familiar NFL insider update us on that, as well as some much-needed help for a mentally drained quarterback that is going to impact what happens with the Houston Texans and what could happen in a Deshaun Watson trade. Some breaking news out of the NFL and two quarterbacks to keep an eye on coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.